Good evening. I don't know about you, but I always think of that scripture. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. It's always a joy to be with God's people, to worship. There's a synergy there that you don't get sometimes by yourself, or you don't ever get by yourself. There's precious moments by yourself and when you're worshiping alone, but there's something about the body of Christ, worshiping together. I am here this evening because Pastor Eddie's mom passed away yesterday, and they're just resting up from all the activities and things that are going on, and we just want to pray for them. If you would, they would covet your prayers during this time, and let's pray for them now. Father, we pray for Pastor Eddie and his family. We pray, God, for his family that's extended and his immediate family, Lord, that you would just be with them during this time. That Holy Spirit, you said you're the comforter. You comfort those who mourn. That you would just come and bring your peace as only you can during these times and your strength. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to find the scripture memory for this month. If you guys could help me find that. There we go. If you guys would stand back up, you know the process. Have you sit down, stand up. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Hey man, can we believe? Can you believe? He says, not believing in us, but it's believing in him. You guys can be seated. If you want to open your scripture to Matthew chapter 3, we're going to talk a little bit about the theme that Jesus spoke most about. And it's the kingdom of God. In order for there to be a kingdom in any realm, there has to be some components to the kingdom. What makes up a kingdom? Well, one is, you got to have a king, right? You got to have a king. So we know who our king is, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But you got to have a king, and you got to have a domain. And that domain is not just land, but it's subjects. People that are under that king and under that rulership. And the third thing you got to have is you got to have rules, or you got to have law, or you got to have a message that is bigger than just that moment, but it's a purpose and a vision for your kingdom. And throughout history, there have been conquering kings that come and take over the land in the area that they've conquered, and then they begin to decree, and they send heralds out that say, the decree of the king decrees, the king says, this is the law of the land. And they begin to bring those laws and bring those changes about on the people that they've conquered. And during that time, they begin to submit. They begin to become subjects. They begin to take on a new role, a new identity. So, you know, as they were known as this, now they're known under this kingdom or this kingship or this rule. So throughout history, there's been wars. And now today there's wars and rumors of wars, right? And so in the kingdom of God, John the Baptist was the forerunner for Christ, right? John the Baptist was that herald. He was that one who was going before Christ and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he saying? He's saying the king is coming, get ready. The king is coming, get ready. Now, if you will, allow me a little liberty here, but when I picture John the Baptist, I picture him as what we call a man's man. He lived in the wilderness. He wore clothes that were made of animal skins. I picture his beard down pretty long and his hair pretty wild. This guy come out, he's in the wilderness, and people are coming to him because the Spirit of the Lord is drawing him to him. It doesn't say he came out from the wilderness and he went into the city, but it says he's in the wilderness and he's baptizing and preaching in the wilderness. So I don't know about you, but man, this guy looks different. I mean, he's eating locusts and wild honey. I don't think that was the normal meal of the day. I don't think living in the wilderness, most people weren't living in the wilderness. So this guy instantly stands out, and the Lord says, even in the womb, this is the forerunner. This is my herald. This is the one that's going to proclaim the coming of my son. So is this wild guy that you just today, you can imagine somebody that just walks up and you're like, now this guy's different. He's interesting. I don't know whether to run or listen to what he says. But he's got something to say that's catching the attention of people. And let's look in Matthew chapter 3 at what he's saying. It says, now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So this is prophetic from Isaiah saying that there's going to be one crying in the wilderness. And what he's going to say is, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. In other words, prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready because the King is coming. Get ready because the King is coming. Get ready. Repent. From living under the old way, from living under the kingdom that you've been living under, there's a new king in town. He's coming, and he's bringing about a revelation of the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is very close. So as John the Baptist is proclaiming this, now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and around the district, around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for the baptism, he said to them, O brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in the keeping of your repentance. So he's telling him, he said, look, you're known for a lot of words, but not much action. You're known for a lot of laws and rules and regulations and putting a burden on people beyond what the kingdom is about. He says, now you repent. So go show fruit worthy of that repentance. So in other words, you have to change. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham, our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor. And he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. So John the Baptist is saying, there's one coming after me, and I'm not he. I'm not the one. I'm just the forerunner here. But I'm telling you that the King is coming. The King is coming. Get ready. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways and begin to declare that the King is coming. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him from saying, I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered and he said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. than he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we just saw the king come and get baptized. We just saw the king submit to the rule of his father. You see, the king is the king because the Father has made him king. He's given him domain over the earth. He's given him rule over the earth. And the reason that he came back, we'll talk about a little bit here going forward. But Jesus has been obedient to the Father. And the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So then Jesus goes on, and we know the story. He goes into 40 days of fasting, and after that he's tempted by the devil. He goes through that temptation process by saying, "It is written." Standing on the word of God, declaring the law in God, declaring the rule of God, not letting the enemy outfox him or tempt him with something, but he knows who he serves, and he knows that he's greater than the one who's offering him the world. You see, we have to know who we serve. We have to know the King. We have to know him in order to stand when the enemy comes and tempts us with things that are tempting, or it wouldn't be a temptation now, would it? So Jesus goes on, and he begins to select his disciples. And then we come to Matthew chapter 5. So we've seen that we have a king, and the king is Jesus. So to partake in the kingdom, you have to recognize the king. You have to repent from your ways, bow before him, submit to his reign, and begin to follow the king. When Jesus came to the disciples, he said, "Follow me." See, even to this day, we have answered the call as Christians to follow him. You notice he never said, "Just follow this rule or do this thing or do that." And you notice the ones who had that mentality in the scriptures, rich young ruler being an example, "What do I do? What must I do?" He says, "Go sell all you have." Because he knew that one thing was more important to him than Jesus, than the king. You see, there can't be anything more important than the king. There can't be anything more important than him ruling and reigning in your life. Our king is Jesus. We should be like John the Baptist and be a herald in this day and age. We should be prophesying and proclaiming, "The King is coming. The King is coming for the second coming of the Lord." You believe in the second coming, right? Yes. So are we closer today than we've ever been? Amen? So the King is coming. The King is coming. Now you've got people, I've got people that we know, they need to hear the message that the King is coming. This world's not just going to keep moving like it's moving. There's coming to a point where the end will be. As we sang tonight, there's coming a point where every name shall bow and every tongue confess. But how much more precious is it to bow now? How much more precious is it for them to be able to understand the love of God with an uncomprehensible love that goes beyond to the deepest depths of where they're at, reaches in the depravity of humanity and draws them into a loving bosom of a loving God and a king who's willing to sacrifice his life for them. We, my friend, have a transformational reality that we should live in, walk in, breathe in, talk in relation to the king, because this is the message that he brought when he said the kingdom of God is here. The king is here. And wherever the king goes, there's a river of life that flows. And wherever the river of life flows, life is produced in it. In you and I, there are rivers of living water flowing. Are you letting the king be the king? And that water is flowing that's pure, that's driving force of life with it. I want to read a few things to you. This is nothing new for you. But I want to tell you who this king is. He's an advocate of the brokenhearted and the downtrodden. He's the one that wants, when the wick is blowing out, he's the one that comes and fans the flame instead of snuffing it out. He is the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He is the one that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to. He is the one that overcomes everything. He is the one that empowers you. He is the one that equips you. He is the one that sustains you. He is the one that gives you life. There is no life outside of Him. There is death and there is life. There is the way of the world and there is the way of the King. Choose which today who you will serve. And when you choose, get on board fully, all in, no doubt. Begin to believe, begin to accept that God has done what He said His word is done, that it is finished upon the cross. He is the bread of life. He is the beloved Son. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the cornerstone. He is the counselor. He is the creator. He is the deliverer. He is the everlasting Father. He is the faithful witness. He is the only begotten. He is the glory of God. He is God. He is the good shepherd. He is the great high priest. He is the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He is the Holy One. He is the I Am. He is your I Am. He is the image of God. He is Emmanuel in time of trouble, which means God is with us. He is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Just One. He is the Forgiving One. He is the Merciful One. But He is also the Holy One. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the Saints. He is the Lawgiver. He is the Law. He is the fulfillment of the law and the fulfillment of the prophets. He is the Lamb, the very Lamb of God. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the leader and the commander of God's army. He is the light of the world. He is the Lord of glory, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of righteousness, the man of sorrows that can weep beside you when you're sorrowful. Are you getting the picture of the King that we serve? You know, Jesus said that He didn't come to be served, but He came as a King who's a servant. Who's being equal with God. Didn't think that was a position for Him to walk in at that time. And He bowed and He walked in humility so that He could serve humanity a plate of forgiveness. He could take our wickedness and turn it into His righteousness. He could take our sins, and though they be like scarlet, make them white as snow. Come on, folks. This is the King that we serve. This is the message that we have. How about you in your life? What's the King done for you? What freedoms has He brought you out, or things has He brought you out of that you're now free from? Begin to tell the story. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Begin to declare the goodness of God over your life. Begin to declare the goodness of God over the lives of those you're praying for. Begin to believe that He is the way maker when there seems to be no way. Begin to raise your faith. This is the hour. This is the time. I am not standing up here tonight preaching to you a message that I don't feel is pertinent to the time. I think the timing of the Lord for the saints to begin to be walking in the fullness of what God's called them to walk in is now. I think there's a window in heaven open right now. And yes, I believe it began a few days ago. I believe there's some years coming up here that the window of God is open for you and I to step into. There's a year, there are some years here for the darkness to be pushed back, but the church must stand up. The church must stand up. We must grab hold of the King and say, "Oh King, I'm here to do your bidding. I'm here to be your herald. I'm here to be your ambassador. I'm here to take the message wherever you want me to take it, every day, every moment. Holy Spirit, use me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, today as you walk with me, I want to hear your voice. I want to know what that person's going through. I want to see through your eyes. I want to be the vessel that pours itself out for you, Lord. In the simple things of life, God often moves. Today, I decided, am I going to lunch or am I not? Am I staying? Am I going? I decided I was going. It's an easy decision, very fleshly. But in the midst of it, I decided, okay, I got two places I would like to go. A or B, A or B. I chose A. I didn't ask God. So as I'm on my way to A, I come by a road and I turn to go to B. And then I pull in the parking lot to turn around. I thought, where am I going? And then it just hit me. And I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? And I felt like A was the wrong answer. The Lord didn't say B. He didn't say, I've got all this for you. I just felt for a moment, I thought, I want to go to A because, number one, that's where my son is. And so I wanted to connect. But I felt like the Lord said, not today. And so I went to B. And as I'm sitting in B and my food is coming and I'm waiting, I'm reading, I'm in my own little world. And this is a place a lot of you know, but I'm not going to call a name. But in this place, you all sit together. It doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you're from. I love hamburgers if you need any more information. But I was sitting there at a table that I often make fun of because one day I walked in and there were a bunch of preachers there. And over this table, there's a chicken that holds a plaque. It says liar's table. I said, you guys are at the right table. You need to make room so I can join you. But I sat down, and this young couple comes up, and they said, is anybody else sitting here? I said, no, please feel free. I just want you to know that you are sitting at the liar's table, so anything goes, you know. So as we engaged, the lady began to ask me some questions, and I began to ask them questions, and I found out they're a young couple, got three kids. They moved into this area a few years back. Listen, folks, it's not a coincidence that people are moving into this area. God's got this area marked, and if you and I want to be a part of what he's marked it for, we're going to get with the king, and we're going to do it the king's way. So I begin to talk with them, and they go to church. Now, I heard her story, his story. They weren't different denominations originally growing up, blah, 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 but they blended and meshed this family, and they're going to a church over in Lexington and serving faithfully and loving the Lord. I saw his shirt said, Jesus is Lord, or King Jesus, or something like that. And so as we struck up this conversation, I didn't feel anything profound as we walked away, but I thought, God, that was a divine appointment. I didn't know what I imparted. I encouraged them, told them to be faithful, you know, where they're at unless God moves them. Told them who I was, where I went to church. They said, We thought about visiting. I said, well, if you want to visit and you feel the Lord lead you to, come. I said, but I appreciate you being faithful where you're at. You know, we need people in all these areas to be faithful and serve where they're at. And they walked away and I got their names and I left and I drove to the church. And as I sat down to get back into this, I thought, I'm going to write their names down. I'm going to begin to pray that God's hand moves in their life in a way that moves other lives and shakes other lives for the kingdom of God. So there are divine appointments. I'm not saying that happens every time I go out to eat. I go out to eat too much. I wish it happened more. Maybe I would excuse some of it. But we can hear the voice of God because his sheep and his sheep hear his voice, right? The king speaks to his people. So this Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Messiah, the messenger of the covenant, our mediator, our mighty God, our morning star, our Passover, our Prince of Life and Prince of Peace. the prophet, the redeemer, the resurrection and the life, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the Savior, the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Righteous, true light, true vine, truth, witness, and the Word is who our King is. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about things like when he showed up on the face of the earth, he proclaimed that message, and at the end of those 3 years he was crucified, he rose again on the third day, and he split time in half. I mean, he altered history. When you think of history, I think it's his story. Because he's the one writing in heaven the story of the clans of men and the mankind throughout the generation from generation, time to time. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a story in that book. I want to have a place of obedience in that book. Where as a son of God, I didn't have any regrets. Now I've got some. But I don't want any going forward. And I'm sure there's times I'll miss it. But I know what my heart is. God, I'm all in. Everything you've got for me, I'm all in. And right now, in this window of time, I do believe God is shining down and saying, now church, I've given you a reprieve. I've given you a time. And I'm going to tell you something. The world is in fear. The world system is in fear. And will we throw rocks or will we open our arms? Be careful with social media. Don't be drawn in to the arguing and the bickering and the backbiting and the murmuring. I believe the Word has something to say about that. But how can I be an encourager? How can I be a lover, but yet stand for righteousness? Jesus walked amongst the sinners, but he never once sinned. He never once backed down from what the Lord says and what righteousness is. He stood in the midst of the sinners. Even when he bowed to write a name in the sand and all of them disappeared and the woman, he said, get up and go sin no more. When he walked into places and he said, your sins are forgiven. And everybody's like, who was this? And all the murmur and the backbiting, all the scheming against him. So we said we got to have a king. We have a king. His name is Jesus. The second thing to have a kingdom is you got to have subjects. We are his subjects. You see, the whole thing on the cross was about redeeming that which was lost. Is that what Scripture says? And what was lost was mankind, because we gave away the keys of authority. And he came and he reclaimed them, not just over earth, but over his people. Where there seemed to be no way, he made a way. The redemption of mankind. And what the Father deemed important is what he laid his life down for. Now, I don't know about you, but in the midst of my life, I've looked back over it and I thought how righteous I am and how worthy I am. Not at all. I thought how humbling it is for one like him to love a sinner like me. How humbling it is that he picked me up out of the depth of my despair. And he said, come with me, son. Take my hand. Follow me. And through that time, since 7 years old, I think, that's the moment I realized I needed a Savior. But here's one of the greatest revelations about my testimony that I ever had is, well, I never was the drug addict, the drunk. I never was. I was the kid that was in church every Sunday. I was the kid that tried to do the right things, even though didn't always. But the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said it took just as much of the blood of Jesus and just as much for him to sacrifice for you and your self-righteousness as it did for the most wicked, vile sinner that you seem to label. the degree of sin was no greater. That's who my king is. And I'm his child. I am made in his image and his likeness. Transformation is a powerful thing. And he says, don't hide it under a bushel. So I ask you tonight, as a child of the Most High, as an heir to the throne of God, let's share it with others. Let's love like Jesus loved. Let's serve like Jesus served. Let's love the unlovable. Let's watch transformations happen because he loved. He comes to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And everybody says, my gosh, what a wicked sinner. He's going to his house? He's a thief. Look who's following. There's a harlot following him. But there was a transformational reality that when you met the king, you come under the kingdom. And when you come under the king invaded your heart and your life. And the Holy Spirit began to make you anew and afresh. In that moment, you are a new creation. But the transformation of the growth of you began to happen. And some of you have been in this growth a long time. But I encourage you, this river is a river. It's not a stagnant pond or a dead sea. Begin to uncork it and let it out. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, most of us don't see a lot of persecution yet, but I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. And just because there's a reprieve doesn't mean there ain't going to be persecution. Doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a rising of the ugly head and the ugliness of the enemy. We are the chosen ones. What are you chosen for? You're chosen to be a light in the darkness. You're chosen to be like Jesus. You're chosen to be the salt. We are the ones called to be Jesus to a lost and dying world. In a time when we think the world around us is lost and confused and just utterly wicked. Listen, man hasn't changed since the beginning of time. Rome was wicked. Babylon was wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked. But God even sent a messenger in there. They wouldn't hear it. If there was one righteous, there were none. He went to get Lot out. So will you be the messenger of the king? Will you carry the heart of the king? No telling where we're going now if the pages get messed up. See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. A kingdom of love that transforms the most vile sinner into a saint. Sometimes we forget our own sinfulness. We forget what it cost upon that cross. We forget the pain and the suffering and the agony he went through for you and for me. And it was no less for those who we would label as sinners. I was a sinner, but now I'm a saint. Now, I may make mistakes, I may miss the mark, I may sin, but no longer am I under that umbrella. No longer am I ensnared in that. Now I'm free. I'm free from sin. I don't have to sin. I'm not in bondage. I'm not in chains. It's not something that has a hold on me to the point that I can't leave it. I say, Lord, I don't want it. My craving is different. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to carry the love of God as a vessel of the living God in a way that impacts those around me. I believe that 2025 is a year that God is going to do some mighty things. And I'm saying, God, I want to be in. What's my part? How do I join? What are you doing? Let me see with your eyes. Let me hear with your ears. Let my heart say, yes, Lord, in the midst of whatever it is. My wife and I, throughout the years, we've always said, God, we'll go wherever you want us to go. We'll do whatever you want us to do. God, we'll go to the nations. We'll stay here. We'll go wherever you want us to go. We'll do whatever you want us to do. And like your walk, there's been some ups and downs. It hasn't all been vertical. It hasn't always been the connection that I wish it would. There's been times where I've got lost in things, and I look back now and I go, what a waste. I don't want to waste any more time. Jesus in us is the hope of glory. The whole earth groans for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of God. I don't just believe that's an end time passage, but I believe that's a right now passage. That the earth is groaning for the revelation of the Son of God because you carry the heart of the King. Because you carry a mantle on your life to move wickedness out of the way. You carry a light inside of you that shines. And when it shines, darkness flees. You carry a mantle of God on your life as an ambassador that walks. And wherever you walk, he says, I will give you that land. We can go with boldness. And with love. We are his witness. Proof of our King's power is the transformational life that we're living out of. Proof of who the King is and his power is your testimony. Your testimony. Let me tell you what God's done for me. Can I pray for you? You know, the Lord just asked me to pray for you. He says you're going through a rough time. Ask the Lord to show you people and speak to you. He'll give you a word of knowledge. He'll give you a word of wisdom. He'll highlight people in your path. We are his workmanship, and we are wonderfully and fearfully made. So Jesus is his King, is our King, and we are his people. And we carry the mantle of his kingship. Of his lordship. We carry the mark, which is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then we carry the message. We carry the message of the gospel of God, which is our testimony. That yet while I was a sinner, he saved me. Yet while I was lost in the sea of sinfulness, he brought me out. Yet when I was walking in a mind of depravity, he said, son, come home. Son, come home. Jesus is calling. And he's calling his people home. But it's got to be more than just words. It's got to be us walking in the Spirit. It's got to be us seeking his face. It's got to be us saying, Lord, I want to know you. And I want to be known by you. And I want to make you known. I was always fascinated with the book of Daniel. But the scripture that fascinated me the most was when it says in Daniel, and those that know their God will do mighty exploits. I wasn't as fascinated by the mighty exploit as I was at those who know their God. David is one of my favorite Bible characters because he had a heart after God. It's the relational reality that you've been invited into. The kingdom that you've been invited into is unlike any kingdom you can imagine or think, because it's not a material thing. It's not a domain as you think of a domain, but it resides in the heart and lives of men and women like you. That's where the rule and the reign of Christ is. And it comes through a reality of relationship that is ongoing. That as you draw closer, as you seek His face, what does He say? As you seek me, you will find me. Now, the enemy comes and he throws all these things of the world at you, your finances, all these things. But I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'll make a quick statement about 5 because I turned there and I never really went there. But you read the Sermon on the Mount, and when I read it, it's very humbling because I realize I can't do any of those things. Every time I read the words of Jesus, I come back to the place that says, God, I can't do anything without you, but with you I can do all things. Because this word, when he presented it to him, and he began to dive deeper than the superficial, he began to call lust a matter of the heart. He began to call divorce a matter of the heart. He began to call things, saying, it's not an outward thing, but it's an inward thing. And I want to deal with that which is inside you and not just that which you appear to do or see on the outside, because my kingdom is deeper than that. We must demonstrate the love of God. A love like Paul describes in Ephesians 3:8, where he says, he prays that we would know the height, the length, the depth, and the width. I got those out of order, but that's okay. A love so high that you can't climb out of it, that you can't escape it. It's a love so wide that it's never ending. It's so long that it's inexhaustible. It's so deep that there's no bottom, that it reaches to the very lowest depravity of humanity and offers a hand out of the sin that they're in and washes their sins, though they be as scarlet, as white as snow. It says, I know you're lost, but I know where your home is. Let me lead you home. That's the kind of love that we need to extend in this day and age to those who are afraid. I'm going to tell you something. You and I have certain things that are stirred up politically. There's another side. It doesn't matter which side it is for the enemy. He comes and stirs fear any side he can. Anytime he can, he's stirring a fear. But God's come to say, I give you peace. I come to give you life. Now, life and peace doesn't come without repentance. If you're living in sin, you're living in sin. You've got to come out. You can put your arm around them and you can love them, but they got to come out of the sin at some point. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the best at cleaning up sinners than anybody I've ever seen. That's not my job to clean them. It's my job to introduce them to the King. It's my job to tell them about the love of God. It's my job to show them the love of God in spite of their sin, in spite of whatever they're in. It's time, saints, that we hear the clarion call of God. That we say, He says, go. We say, God, send me. Send me, God. Send me, Lord Jesus. Send me. I want to go, Lord. I want to go. You know, for long enough we prayed about should we go. But I'm telling you, saints, you better start praying about should you stay where you are in the sense of the Spirit. It's time to move. It's time to march. It's time to begin to get in tune with the beat of the drum of the kingdom of God. It's time to begin to express God in a way that shows His face to others around us. It's time that we begin to cry out on our knees. It's time that we begin to weep. for our inheritance, which is the nations. He said, if you ask for the nations, I'll give them to you. I'm going to tell you something. The nations are right here too. They're all around us. We think of foreigners. But I'm telling you, you're part of a nation. That's not just a word for missionaries outside of the United States. That is a word for the people of God. It's time we begin to cry for our loved ones. It's time we begin to cry for our neighbors. It's time we begin to weep for our area. It's our time we begin to pray over our region, our state, our nation, and all the countries throughout the world. It's time that we believe that our God is big enough to turn circumstances and situations that we see beyond repair, that He is the restorer. He is the reconciler. He is the one who's able. He is the one who is willing. He is the one who wants to move upon people more than we are willing to go and ask Him. And He's willing to give us what we ask for. It's time we be the ambassadors we're called to be. It's time that we reach out to everyone and quit deciding who we're going to share the love of God with. It's time that we quit withholding that which we have and we begin to open our arms and say, here it is, Lord, whatever you got, I'm ready. It's time we begin to ask for divine appointments. It's time we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead everywhere we go. It's time that we not take our eyes off the prize, which is Him exalted in every situation. It's time that we begin to quit being distracted by things that we're so easily distracted by. It's time we set aside the snare that has ensnared us. Everything that hangs on that hinders you from running the race. Begin to ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart. If there be any wicked way in me, if there be something that's holding me back, I'm going to tell you, for most part, church, it's unbelief. You don't believe that God can use you for miracles. You don't believe that God can use you to change somebody's life. You may not believe that God can speak to you in ways that brings about reformation, but He can. He can and He will and He wants to and He is. It's time we begin to ask, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? Jesus said He couldn't do anything unless He saw the Father doing it. It's time we get about the Father's business. It's time that we flood the altars and say, Lord, send me. Tonight as the praise and worship team comes, I just want you to get along with God. If in your seat or at this altar, I don't care. I'm not looking to be moved by numbers. I'm just looking for God to move on your heart and bring us to the place where we say, Lord, I'll go. I want to be that one. I want to be that voice. I want to be that person who's praying for people behind the closet. I want to be the one who's seeking your face. God, I want to see my life transformed as it already and proclaimed that it already is. I want to see the weights that ensnare me fall off, God, and I'm going to begin to walk it. I'm going to set my face like flint, and I'm going to say, Jesus, you're the only thing I'm looking at. All these problems are going to fall off. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And He talks about before that all the things you worry about, all the things that the pagans worry about, all the things the heathens worry about, all the things that they're consumed with, my job, my money, my situation. He says, I'll give you everything. If you seek first the kingdom of God, everything you need. How many of you tonight can testify in this room that in the midst of times of turmoil, trials, financial, spiritual, physical, God came through? Every time. Every time. Whether He changed the situation or whether He changed me, He's faithful. He's faithful. He is so faithful. So tonight as Andrew plays, I just encourage you to come forward If you feel led to come forward, just come.